secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah. 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 Strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof, her beauty in the moonlight overthrew you. She tied you to a kitchen chair, and she broke your throne, and she cut your hair, and from your lips she drew the hallelujah. 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 Now, maybe there's a God above. As for me, all I ever learned from love is how to shoot at someone who outdrew you. But it's not a cry that you hear tonight. It's not some pilgrim who claims to have seen the light. No, it's a cold and it's a very broken hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
I remember
When I moved in you and the holy dove, she was moving too, and every single breath that we drew was hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Done my best, I know it wasn't much. I couldn't feel, so I learned to touch. I've told the truth, I didn't come here to London just to fool you. And even though it all went wrong, I'll stand right here before the Lord of Song with nothing, nothing on my tongue. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Listening to Reverend Dr. Rob White from the AULC Ministries. Find us on Facebook, Roku, Amazon Fire TV and TalkShoe. And be sure to visit www.aulc.us.
Hello and welcome to the AULC Ministries. I'm Reverend Dr. Rob White. I'm here with this week's message. Before we get started, let's go into the worship service with a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Please join me. Heavenly Father, we come today again. We're celebrating having some beautiful days out and some nice weather and being able to finally get out and about, even though we still have to social distance and some of us still have to hunker down at home and stay in place, and some of us are still isolated and self-isolating. And we just ask, Lord, that you be with each of us and help us get back to whatever this new normal is going to be, so that we can get out and experience life once again. We just ask that you be with us each and every day and just continue to bless us and keep us, Lord, because without you, we're never going to get through this, and we know that. So we just ask, Lord, that you'll be with us, and especially during this time where churches like ours here have to, you know, stay streaming and can't get back into our normal worship areas. And we just ask, Lord, that you'll be with each and every person. Help them get through this troubled time, this trying time, and just be with us, Lord, so that we can continue to get the good news of the gospel out to those that need to hear it. We thank you. We ask you to be with us today. You say where two or three or more are gathered in your presence, you'll be there. We just ask, Lord, that we're together socially, we're distanced, we are together across the internet, but still be with us, Lord. Shine your glory down on us, share your presence down on us, and we just ask, Lord, that you be with us in each and every way. We ask this in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. Now, today, our gospel lesson comes from Acts 2, 1 to 21. That's Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were staying, and tongues like flames of fire that were divided and appeared to them and rested on each one of them. Then they all were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different languages as the Spirit gave them ability for speech. There were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from under every nation under heaven. When this sound occurred, a crowd came together and was confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And they were astounded and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each one of us hear in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those who live in Mesopotamia, in Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, in Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and other parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking the magnificent acts of God in our own languages." They were all astounded and perplexed, saying to one another, "What could this be?" But some sneered and said, "They're full of new wine." But Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and proclaimed to them, "Men of Judah and all you residents of Jerusalem, let me explain this to you and pay attention to my words, for these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only 9 in the morning. On the contrary, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And it will be in our it will be in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all humanity. Then your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. I will even pour out my spirit on my male and female slaves in those days, and they will prophesy. I will display wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and remarkable day of the Lord comes. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his words. Now, this is Pentecost Sunday, if you haven't figured that out already. Jewish law required Jewish people to observe 3 pilgrimage festivals, annual festivals in Jerusalem that Jewish men were expected to attend: Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which was observed in March to April. These were originally 2 festivals, but the New Testament times, Jewish people had combined them. They celebrated the Exodus from Egypt. Then there's the Feast of Weeks, the Pentecost, which is absorbed towards the end of May and the beginning of June, and it's also known as the Feast of the Harvest, or the Day of First Fruits. The Feast of Booths, or the Feast of Tabernacles, is observed in late September or early October, and this was a harvest festival celebrating the ingathering of the crops. Now, the Feast of Weeks, the Pentecost, Jewish law required Jewish people to observe this harvest festival called the Feast of Harvest or the Feast of Weeks, and it's also called the Day of the First Fruits. The word Pentecost is found in the New Testament in Acts and again in 1 Corinthians and the Apocrypha. Pente is the Greek word for 5. It also can be extrapolated to mean 50. Now, Pentecost is commonly thought to follow Passover by 50 days. However, in Leviticus 23, it appoints Jewish festivals. It specifies that Passover and unleavened bread are to be celebrated on a fixed date every year. Now, first fruits is next, celebrated after the harvest starts. And first fruits does not have a fixed date because the harvest must wait for the ripening of the grain. Now, Leviticus ties the Feast of Weeks, the Pentecost, to the first fruits rather than Passover by saying, "You shall count from the next day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering. 7 Sabbaths shall be completed." We see this in Leviticus 23:15. Now, the 7 weeks plus 1 day, the day after the Sabbath, constitutes the 50 days associated with Pentecost. So, Pentecost is 50 days after first fruits rather than 50 days after Passover. The instructions in Deuteronomy are essentially the same, specifying that the Feast of Weeks is from the time you begin to put the sickle to the standing grain, you shall begin to number the number 7 weeks. We see this in Deuteronomy 16:9. Now, Luke wrote both the Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Apostles. The Gospel being the story of Jesus and Acts being the story of the early church. Now, it's unfortunate that the two books were separated in the New Testament by the Gospel of John, because placing Acts directly after Luke would help us to see how the Acts of the Apostles picks up where the Gospel of Luke leaves off. This is significant to the story of the Pentecost because the first Christian Pentecost is deeply rooted in the Gospel of Luke. We might think of the first Christian Pentecost as the beginning, not with the words, "Now when the day of Pentecost had come," in Acts 1:1, but with the words of the angel to Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come to you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you," like we see in Luke 1:35. The Spirit responsible for the birth of Jesus is also responsible for the birth of the church. The birth of the church in Acts 1 and 2 parallels the birth of Jesus in Luke 1 and 2. The gift of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2 fulfills the prophecy of John the Baptist in Luke's Gospel. In Luke 3:16, "He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire." And Jesus alluded to the gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost when he told his disciples in Luke 24:49 to wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. It also fulfills his promise in Acts 1:5 that you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. The Spirit also that fills the disciples in Acts 2:4 is the same Spirit that descended upon Jesus at his baptism in Luke 3:22. Jesus began his ministry Spirit-filled, and so does the church. Jesus told the disciples not to worry about what they would say when they were brought before the authorities, because the Spirit would teach them. A prophecy that we see fulfilled in Acts 4, 5, 6, 7, all the way through the book of Acts. Many Christians today know very little about the Pentecost, but Pentecost is very important in the life of the church. In the very early church, the two great days were Easter and Pentecost. Early Christians didn't start observing Christmas until a long time later. Why was Pentecost so important? Well, Pentecost was important because the church was born on the Pentecost. You might remember it this way. Jesus was born on Christmas Day. The Christian church was born on Pentecost. Now, Pentecost was a major Jewish holiday, and it was a Jewish holy day. Jews from all over the world made a pilgrimage to Jerusalem at Pentecost. They called it the Feast of Weeks. Jerusalem was a small city of about 50,000 people, but its population swelled to as many as a million people when the pilgrims came for the Feast of Weeks. Now, on the first Christian Pentecost, 7 weeks after Christ's resurrection, Jews from all over the world were gathered in Jerusalem. God told the Christian disciples to gather there too. God had something special in mind. He had a little bit of theater, some pyrotechnics, and some brilliant, powerful old-time preaching coming. And I think that the first Pentecost might have been a lot like those old-fashioned tent revival meetings that were so popular a few decades ago. Lots of excitement, lots of great preaching, and people coming to Jesus in droves. And on that first Pentecost, something amazing happened to those disciples. After Jesus' ascension, they had waited quietly in Jerusalem, as Jesus had instructed them to do. It must have been almost like being in hiding. They were keeping a low profile. But then on Pentecost Day, the disciples suddenly heard a roaring sound. It was like a violent wind. They seemed to all be catching on fire. And Luke tells us that tongues of fire settled upon them. Like the burning bush in Moses' day, the disciples appeared to burn, but the fire did not consume them. And I wish I could have been there to see that. Then the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in foreign languages. Languages they didn't understand themselves, languages they had never learned, languages that the Holy Spirit had miraculously given them the ability to speak. The crowds were amazed. And in Acts 2:8, they said, how do we hear everyone in our own native language? You see, the people in that crowd were from everywhere. They were from Mesopotamia and Judea, from Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Egypt and Cyrene and Pamphylia and Rome. And each person heard the disciples in his or her own native language. Now, the closest thing to the first Pentecost that we've got is the United Nations. Now, at the United Nations, each person speaks into a microphone. His or her words go to a translator who translates it into other microphones. Each listener wears an earphone, thank you, tied to his or her own language. At the United Nations, when everything works right, when all the translators are present, when all the equipment works properly, when everyone speaks distinctly and translates correctly, then everyone hears in his or her own language. It's a modern miracle, but it's bought at an enormous cost. But on that first Pentecost, though, that first Christian Pentecost, there were no translators. There were no microphones. And on that first Christian Pentecost, there was only the Holy Spirit. But that was enough. The disciples began to preach, and everyone understood in his or her own language. Now stop and think about that for a minute. The disciples were preaching in their language, probably Aramaic, because that was the common language of Israel. Lots of people would have understood Aramaic, but not everybody. Some of them would have had to been like me if I traveled to a foreign country. I need a translator. I need someone to help me just order something from a menu. But on that first Christian Pentecost, nobody needed a translator. It wasn't that they all understood Aramaic, which was Israel's language. The crowd didn't hear Aramaic. They heard what was being said in their own languages. Somewhere between the preacher and the listener, a translation took place, a godly translation. The Holy Spirit was the translator, making it possible for each person to hear the sermon in his or her own language. People paid attention too. You're not going to see anyone sleeping through that sermon. You could not sleep if you were hearing a roaring wind and seeing people on fire and hearing people speaking in a lot of foreign languages all at the same time. Now, Peter was the main preacher that day. He reminded people how they had looked forward to the coming of the Messiah. Then he told them about Jesus, who was the Messiah. Then he told them when the Messiah had come, they killed him. When they heard that, they were beside themselves. Peter's words cut to the bone. In Acts 2:38, they said, "What can we do?" "Repent and be baptized," Peter says. They responded, and 3,000 people were baptized that day. That was the beginning of the church. That was Pentecost. It was the church's birthday. And we should have balloons and streamers and birthday cake and noisemakers, and we should celebrate. And because today is the birthday of the church. Not the birthday of this congregation, but the birthday of the church of Jesus Christ. The whole thing. Something great happened at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, filled the disciples. God's Holy Spirit transformed a handful of ordinary disciples into powerhouses. God's Holy Spirit fueled a revelation, a new beginning, a new birth. And you know what? We need another Pentecost today. We need the Holy Spirit to fill us and to fuel us. We need the Holy Spirit to breathe life into us and to set us on fire, just as it did on that first Christian Pentecost. Simon Weil makes the point of the Greek word pneuma, which is translated spirit in the New Testament. Literally, it means fiery breath. The Holy Spirit is God's fiery breath. In Genesis, God blew pneuma, his fiery breath, his spirit, into a handful of dust, and the dust became a living man. At Pentecost, God blew his pneuma, his fiery spirit, his spirit, into the disciples, and they became a living being. They became the church. The fire that started at Pentecost spread quickly, soon it engulfed the world. God blew his pneuma, his fiery breath, his spirit, into a few raggedy disciples. He set them on fire, and they in turn set the world on fire. And we need God's spirit to do that for us today. And you know what? God is willing to do that. He's willing to fill us with his spirit today. In fact, he gave us his spirit at baptism. He started the fire inside us when we were baptized. What happened then? Well, that depends on how we responded to God after our baptism. Some Christians throw open the doors of their hearts so that God's breath fans the spark of his spirit into a great flame. And we say of them that they are on fire for Christ. But some Christians close so many doors that God's breath has no passageway to reach the spark. They can't give God their Sunday morning because they're too busy. They can't give God money because they're too poor. They can't mention Jesus to their friends because they're too timid. They can't honor God with faithful sexuality because they're too much in love. One by one, they close the doors to their hearts so the spark of God's Spirit smolders but never bursts into flame, never sparks a new life in them, never changes anything at the core of their being. We need to give God's Spirit space to burn inside of us. It would make such a difference. When we give God's Holy Spirit room to catch fire inside us, the Spirit produces fruits. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the Apostle Paul says the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the things that should characterize us as Christians. 9 things: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. Philip Yancey, in his book, I Was Just Wondering, says, what would happen if these 9 words came to mind when you said the word Christian? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What would happen indeed? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could become people of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? We can be all those things. Those fruits of the Spirit grow as naturally in a Christian life as a peach grows on a peach tree. God can and will make us people of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That will happen if we will just open the doors of our hearts to let his breath fan the spark of his spirit. Which doors of your heart have you closed off to God? What do you feel that you cannot afford to give him? Your time? Your money? Your heart? Let us open the doors of our hearts this Pentecost so that we might become people of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Let us open the doors of our hearts this Pentecost to receive God's blessing. That's the Lord's message for this Lord's Day, and I hope that you got a blessing out of it. Stay tuned for a few minutes after the sermon here for another great music video, and we will hope to see you next week. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much because there is times in our lives when we just don't feel we have the time or we have the money or we have the patience or what have you, and we just can't do it. And we just ask, Lord, that you'll work with each one of us so that we can be the spiritual Christians that you want us to be and have all that love, joy, peace, and kindness, and self-control that we need in our lives. So just be with us, Lord, each and every day as we go about our day today to go back home or go out or whatever. Just put a hedge of protection around us. Keep us safe, Lord. Bring us back home safely. We ask this in your Son, Jesus' precious name. Amen. Go out this week. Be a blessing and be blessed, because the more you're a blessing, the more you will be blessed. Thank you all for watching, and we hope to see you again next week. Thank you.
Within me, Christ behind me and Christ before me, Christ beside me and Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ beneath me and Christ above me, Christ in quiet and Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. I bind unto myself the name, the strong name of the Trinity, by invocation of the same, the three in one and 1 and 3, by whom all nature hath creation, eternal Father, Spirit, Word, praise to the Lord of my salvation. Salvation is of Christ the Lord. We pray those words of St. Patrick together, saying, Amen.
Thank you.